Blog Talk Radio.
Held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting our shows together, we're polishing up our act.
Don't you let nothing, nothing
And just like that, welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Fastest 16 Minutes Sports, good Sunday morning to you. Yours truly, Vincent Moore, on the wheels this morning. So many of you have basically chimed in about the subtitle of this week's episode of The Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. Why is this news? So let me clarify, as perhaps only I can. There are a lot of things in this world that hit the news wire, the majority of which are actually newsworthy. They're of interest to someone. We've come so far in our efforts to become a tolerant society, a society of acceptance, a society of, you know, making you feel that there's a place for you in this country, in this nation, for what it's worth in this world. And yes, there are unfortunately people in this world who have still some sensitivities that maybe haven't matured, and I'll use that term, matured, into a level of understanding and tolerance. But you have to wonder sometimes, when you've come so far, when do we realize that this is just life and not news, okay? Many people have extolled the greatness of Michael Sam being the co-SEC Defensive Player of the Year coming out of Missouri, but not until he came out and said he was openly gay. And I don't know why, but it just struck me as odd that this is the reason that all of a sudden now, from my perspective as a football fan, as someone who follows the game, studies the game, and I'm just going to say this because, and I hope I'm wrong, but I get the impression from everything there that this young man is, again, very gifted football player, but he's also a bit of a media whore. And that has nothing to do with his sexual orientation. It has everything to do with why, where, when, all this now, and what he's gaining from this, okay? And he's already come out and said he's proud of who he is. That's great. But don't act for a minute as if this is the first gay player to have ever played the game, because it's not, okay? This is not the first guy who ever strapped up a football helmet and said, hey, I'm openly gay. You know, this is who I am. That's not, there's nothing stellar about that, okay? And again, as a football fan, I don't really care about your sexual orientation. I care, can you help my football team win games? Can you help us win a championship? All right? Now, this young man will have endorsement deals. He'll have all the things that come along with being in the face of the media. And, of course, every group associated with that particular orientation will get behind him, and as it should be. I mean, again, as well as it can be. But in a society that now wants to change some of the rights that have been bestowed upon us, such as freedom of speech in a lot of ways, there's some things you just can't say anymore, okay? Remember a couple of years ago, the NBA had this big thing about not saying the word gay, okay? Now, of course, shows like Family Guy and American Dad took that and ran with it and had a field day and made bunches of money and bunches of episodes where they pushed the envelope of the freedoms of speech, what you can and cannot say. Here's my problem with the whole you can't say gay, you can't say the slur. They're hate crimes. I understand that wholeheartedly, and I'm in complete agreement with that. That's not the issue, okay? You have a race of people that have been fighting for freedom for 400-plus years that still can't get the N-word out of the vocabulary. Yet that's okay to be where it is now because a community of hip-hop artists have gotten behind it, and we've taken the sting out of that word, so to speak, and now it's okay. Now, again, I don't want to get on my soapbox for a long epitaph associated with this, but why is this news? Why is Michael Sam being the first openly gay athlete coming out of Missouri, why is that news? Why? And I'd love for you to tell me. I'd love for you, if you've got a perspective on why this is newsworthy, please give me a call. 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. I just want to know why that's news, okay? Is it news because he's the first one that we all accept now as gay coming out? Because he's not the first to ever play the game, and certainly that's been done. That goes back to the late 60s and 70s, you know, far as we know, and for all intents and purposes, it may go even further than that. But we know this now as, you know, I remember reading articles back in the 70s about players on the Steelers, the dominant Pittsburgh Steelers teams of the 70s that were winning Super Bowls, and the number of players in that squad that had what at the time was an alternative lifestyle. I don't know. I just wonder, is it news? Is it really newsworthy? Is it really a value to ESPN to spend millions upon millions of dollars to do that story, to follow that story? Is it worth, you know, First Take to spend all that time talking about the impact of his orientation on the game of football? It's football. When you step between those white lines and those hash marks and you put those fingers down on the ground and strap it on and line it up, it's football. At the end of the day, it's a game. It's a game played by very large and very talented young men who make significant amounts of money if they're forced enough to be around long enough. But why is his orientation news? Maybe if you can tell me why, I'd love to hear your perspective. 619-639-4747. I just want to know why it's news, okay? All right, so here's today. It is the 16th of February. Many of you know I have been out of sorts or out of communique for quite a while, and there's a reason for that, okay? And I often don't talk about a lot of these things because basically I let you be you so you can let me be me, okay? I had some good experiences, though. Let me share this with you. I recently brought my daughter a vehicle, and I figured, oh, here we go. I got to go to the DMV now. I got to get all the tax title, license, all the other fun stuff. And it would have otherwise been just the usual pain or largely a waste of a day. But you get everything done, right? But this wasn't the case at all. Not in the least, no. I actually went to the DMV, and I met two incredibly talented people there. And they made my situation and process actually relatively easy. So kudos to, I'm going to call her Super Q, Karita Shavers. And the other young lady's name was Valicia Hardy. They worked at the DMV right there on 99th and King Drive. Now, again, it started off a little odd because certainly, you know, you want to be able to do it close to where you live. I live in the south suburbs in Chicago, and there are two or three DMVs between me and the one on 99th, but that's the one that's full service. So you got to go all the way into the city, deal with the traffic, 95th Street, work your way to where you got to get to, and then get all that stuff done. So by the time I get there, get inside, you know, there's always the long line that goes outside. Now keep in mind, this is Chicago in the dead of winter with the wind chill right around -2, -5, maybe somewhere in that ballpark. It's a little cold outside. And I'm standing there without any cognition that I probably could have just asked, hey, where do I go for, you know, me buying a car and getting some plates? But I stood there like a bit of a boo with a fool, thinking I'm just everybody else here. I'm just going to wait till my time to get in line. And a young man walked up past me and walked up to the young man who was kind of guarding the door and simply said, hey, I'm here for X. He said, oh, well, come on in, sir, as if he was somehow a superstar, so to speak. And so, because I'm cold, it's outside, let me ask, hey, plates. He said, well, come on in. So I get out of the door, and sure enough, I'm in. And from that point forward, things went quickly, went smoothly. I didn't bring enough cash because I did not know that, for whatever reason, the prices had gone up significantly to get plates and tax title and all that stuff done. So I had to run down to an ATM machine, but they were kind enough to let me go right back to the front of the line, get all my stuff done, and I was out of there. So kudos to Jesse White and the DMV in Chicago and Cook County, or in Illinois, if you will. Kudos to you. Nice job. Nicely done. I was warmly impressed by that experience. I had never been to something like that before that quickly. Usually it was more of a pain, grumpy people, attitudes. And to Valicia and Karita, I probably said that wrong, and I said I wasn't going to do that. I'm sorry. thank you for being who you are. Thank you for being amazing. Thank you for being fans of the fastest 6 minutes in sports. By the way, the young man who got me the car, Steve, thanks, man. To the Chicago Hustlers Association, and you can find those guys on Facebook. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you a whole lot. Absolute amazing, amazing little experience in its own little space, and I really, truly appreciate that. To Tasia Knight over at Hawkinson Nissan, I appreciate the efforts to try to get me into that 2014 Nissan Altima. I still haven't gotten my phone call yet, but that's okay. I still believe in you. I still like you. Okay. And if something changes, we'll get back to that. All right. Back to the world of sports. What's going on this weekend? Of course, the Olympics continue on. The USA hockey team all over ESPN this morning as they continue to dominate, leading 5-0 now over Slovenia. That was 16:34 left in the third period. USA continuing to dominate. All right. Yeah, that's one of those deep sighs where you know this isn't going to be good. All right. No, you know what? Stop. We're not going to do that because there'll be a pop-up every time I say this. Missouri fans greet Michael Sam with a standing ovation. Great. I'm happy for him. He's their co-defensive MVP. I hope they did that because He's just a great player. I hope they did not do that just because he came out. Okay. The whole I came out, guess what? I'm going to come out as a high yellow brother and tell you that I'm black. Is that newsworthy? No. It was there vilification behind the race you were born in? Yeah, ask that to the people who were oppressed for hundreds and hundreds of years. And I don't want to downplay the significance of the announcement and when he did it. I don't. I just don't understand why that's significant news. I just don't, okay? You know, what's significant news to me is, can the White Sox get back to the World Series? Can the Cubs compete? Can Jason Hamels be ready to go by opening day, okay? Can the USA hockey team win gold? Can they hang with the Russians, okay? Is the rest of the world going to finally realize that people are just people? All they are. 17 past the hour, 3 minutes inside of this week's News of the Weird. And yes, it is probably weird. So nothing in the nothing majorly going on in baseball right now. Of course, the football just ended. Congratulations again to the Seattle Seahawks on their win over the Denver Broncos. Men's basketball is in full blow. Let's get to the rankings of that and run down that real quick at 18 past the hour. And let's see what we've got going. Many of you who follow college basketball know Syracuse still dominant, number one at 23-0. Now, here's where things get look kind of conundrumish. Arizona finally lost. They're 23-1. Florida's 21-2. Florida be number three. Wichita State is 25-0, and it's ranked number fourth in the nation. Now, in the USA coaches poll, Wichita State is number two. Wichita State is an interesting story for those of you who follow college basketball. You know, it's one of those things where you can lose. Well, of all the major sports that we support and watch, it's one of those things where it's hard to keep an undefeated national team away from getting a decent ranking. Okay, remember in football sometimes you've got teams like Boise State that would be, you know, 9-8, 9-0 and still wouldn't be ranked in the top 10 because they always say it was their competition. You know, they didn't play well. It's hard to go 25-0 in college basketball. I don't care who you're lining up against every single day. It's hard. The most dangerous team in college basketball right now sits in the USA Today College Poll at number 17. That's Creighton at 19-4. Again, they were hot, they were undefeated, went on a losing streak, and now apparently are back to playing fundamental basketball. So let's run down. AP Top 25 right now, Syracuse 1, Arizona 2, Florida 3, Wichita State number 4, San Diego State number 5, Villanova 6, Kansas 7, Duke number 8, Michigan State 9, Cincinnati 10. On the USA Today College Poll, Syracuse 1, Wichita State 2, Arizona 3, Florida 4, San Diego State 5, Villanova 6, Kansas 7, Louisville 8, Duke 9, and Michigan State number 10. Fun stuff for college basketball fans. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how the rest of the season plays out. And Syracuse and Wichita State will no doubt be number ones as we get closer and closer to March Madness. Have you started thinking about your bracketology? And while I'm on that, let me congratulate Anthony Giovanetti and all those who participated in the Tajana Davis fundraiser, the 15th annual Venn Super Bowl pool. 15 years of doing these wonderful Super Bowl pools. So the Super Bowl to me is that Sunday is a holiday. I'm sorry. Everything gets wiped out, okay? You shut everything aside. I don't care if you slipped and broke an ankle, if you had a snot bubble in your nose and you didn't feel good, whatever. The Super Bowl, the Sunday that is the Super Bowl, is a holiday. Note that. Bank that. I said it. I stand by it. Okay? Because you will wipe everything out. I don't care if you're just watching it for the commercials. It's just a great show. Great spectacle. 39 left in the ride today. The News of the Weird is right around the corner. U.S. Olympics continue to do what they do. Should we do it now? We can. We can do it right now. All right. All right, without further ado, the once done, never duplicated, often attempted to be duplicated, but never quite accomplished, the News of the Weird. Here you go, ladies and gentlemen. The Fastest 60 Minutes of Sports presents Vinnie Moore's News of the Weird. Wow. That intro always kills me. All right. Our Old Cold Dead Hands. You know, I'm going to have to do this one day with some background music because I think this requires it. Anyway, the semi-obscure Florida statute 790.15 took center stage in January following a Miami Herald report of a resident of the town of Big Pine Key who routinely target shoots his handgun in his yard with impunity. To the consternation of neighbors, the statute permits open firing on private property except shooting over public, right of way, or an occupied dwelling, and several cities have tried unsuccessfully to restrict that right, citing public safety in residential neighborhoods. A 2001 lobbying campaign by the National Rifle Association and a state Supreme Court decision nixed any change in the law. Negligent shooting is illegal, but only a misdemeanor. Thus, even skillful shooting next door to a daycare center or in a small yard that abuts a highly trafficked pedestrian street is likely perfectly legal. One Florida legislator who was originally from Alaska noted that even in Anchorage, people cannot fire at will in their yards. Wow. Let's get you one more because we have the time to do so. This one's on cultural diversity out of South Korea. South Korea is a well-known hub for cosmetic beautification surgery with a higher rate per capita than the U.S., but the procedures can be expensive, inspiring many young women recently to resort to do-it-yourself procedures for their professional and romantic upgrades. A December Global Post dispatch noted that some might try to force their eyes to stay open without blinking, using a novel $20 pair of glasses for hours on end as a substitute for costly double eyelid surgery. Also in use, a $6 jaw-squeezing roller device for the face to push the jaw line into a fashionable oval form. One T told the reporter she applied an imaginative contraception. One teen told the reporter she applied an imaginative contraption to her face, for hours a day to pressure her nose into more of a point, which is considered a desirable Western look. Are you serious? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I am blessed to have beautiful people around me the majority of the day, a beautiful family, and my daughter is incredibly attractive to the world, and if I ever find a contraption stuck to my child's face, it's going to be a problem. One more? All right, let's do one more. This one's called Acquired Taste. In December, thieves in Wicklow, Ireland, raided a convent's field at the Dominican Farm and Ecology Center, stripping it of its entire crop of Brussels sprouts. A nun at the farm said the sisters were devastated to miss out on a lucrative market for high-end Christmas dinners. In January, Walmart in China recalled its five-spice donkey meat sold in some locations because the popular snack was found to be tainted with fox meat. I'm done. I am done. That is truly weird. The Fastest 60 Minutes of Sports presents Vinnie Moore's News of the Weird. Yeah. Don't do that again. Don't do that again. Seriously. All right. Let's take a break. How do you want to do this? I'll tell you what. Let's go old school today. It is the 16th. It is it's post Valentine's Day, and for those of you who know me, you know I'm not a fan of Valentine's Day. I'm not going to sit here and bash the day. I'm sure it's great for, you know, lovers, young lovers who get to spend time with each other. I'm sure it's a wonderful thing. I'm not a fan. I mean, you went out, you bought a box of chocolates, you bought some flowers. You did this on this day because it was the public display of affection. Yeah, and yet you get 364 other days to basically cake, with the exception of holidays such as Christmas and or Thanksgiving. Hopefully you're with your family, with your loved ones, but I despise Valentine's Day and what's become of it. I do. I admit it. You know, feel free to vilify me, 619-639-4747. I don't care. Not a fan. All right? Now, let's do this. Let's do a comedy break. And because this is internet radio, we can do really whatever we like, but I want to keep this thing somewhat grounded. So I'll tell you what. Let's go 10 minutes of Dave Chappelle for you, Oz. Happy Sunday, everybody. Back in a few.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from San Francisco, please welcome Dave Chappelle.
What's up, San Francisco? I like your city. It's beautiful. Tolerant place. I didn't see much. I haven't seen my friend call me. He was like, hey, having fun in Frisco? Hell yeah. Seen a sight? No. You want to go see Alcatraz?
What kind of nigga in his right mind wants to visit a prison for recreation?
I got friends in jail I don't visit. I don't deal with jails. Don't deal with jails, and I don't deal with police. My house got robbed in New York. I didn't even call the police. I wanted to, but I couldn't. My crib is too nice. It's not that it's too nice, but it's too nice for me.
You know how the police are in New York. As soon as I open the door, they'll be like,
oh, he's still here. Open and shut case, Johnson. Apparently, this black guy broke in and hung up pictures of his family everywhere. Never seen anything like it.
Don't deal with them, man. I had to bail a friend of mine out of jail one time. You know, that was horrible. I was scared. I had to walk right into the belly of the beast. I tried to look as non-threatening as possible.
Hi. I'm here to bail out my buddy.
Oh, okay. Well, while you're here, you do fit a description. If you walk this way, we can process you. That's how they always get us. It's fitting those damn descriptions. Now, I could be bitter and blame all the police, but no. I'll tell you who I blame. It's those fucking sketch artists. They keep drawing the same brother over and over again. Who is this generic man we all look like? I want to know what they say when it's us. You know what I mean? Like, be in that room like, did you get a look? Do you see the guy that tried to rob you?
Yes. Yes, I did. He's about 6 feet tall, I'd say. 6 feet tall? Yes. He had his hat on backwards, too. Good. That's good stuff.
Was on backwards?
Yes. He was black?
Okay, big lips, big nose, dick hanging out.
Say no more, sir.
I'll draw him from memory. And now let me get my stencil. I think we can trace this guy and save some time. They get on the radio and say, calling all cars, calling all cars. Be on the lookout for a black male between 4'7 and 6'8. Between 120 and 380 pounds. He's wearing Nike. Get this man! Criminals are insane. I don't even know why people do crime. They want to catch you, they're going to catch you. They can. They got forensics. You ever seen forensics? Those guys find clues nobody else thinks about looking for. I mean it. You leave a pubic hair anywhere near a crime scene, they're going to find that shit. What the hell is this? Back up! We got a match. Then they look at the pubic and tell all kinds of information. Looks like there was a struggle. Time of death, 3:07. It's amazing. I saw him get a dude one time on Court TV. It was embarrassing. It was a sexual assault case. I knew the defendant was lying. I could feel it. He defended himself too hard. He did. His answers had nothing to do with the question. They're completely irrelevant. They ask him easy questions. Were you anywhere near the crime scene on the night of the incident? Motherfucker, I told you I work at Burger King. That went on for hours. Then the prosecutor got fed up. Said, I've had enough of this. Called the forensics to the stand. Forensics is like, Your Honor, we are prepared to testify that we found the defendant's semen under the stove. I said, God damn. That's worse than fingerprints. Now, they find your semen, you've been there at least a minute. But that's what I want to know. Under the stove, you find semen like that? Or do you look for it? Like, do they walk onto a crime scene like, this place is a mess? Check it for semen. Or do they just, like, walk in and slip? Oh, my God. What the hell was that? Semen. They find it on every crime scene. It's like, what are burglars doing? We got the stuff. Let's get out of here. Wait a minute. I want to leave my calling card. The semen bandit has struck again. I don't understand nothing anymore. I don't. I watched TV the other day. Now tell me, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm crazy. Is it me? Is it me or do commercials have nothing to do with the products anymore? You think I don't even know what a fucking commercial is about until the end. Everyone's a surprise nowadays. You seen that commercial where the lady got the black eye? This lady come on TV with a black eye. She's crying. She's like, I smoke crack. And my husband beats me. And then a voice came on and said, got milk? I said, what the? It has nothing to do with milk. I'm not saying I'm a commercial expert, but I make a better milk commercial than that. Make it nice and simple. I just do a close-up of a titty and put milk right underneath. If that doesn't sell milk, nothing will, boy. I'll tell you that shit right now. In 1997, titties are industry in 1997. They are. I know they are. I'm a customer. Titties are industry in 1997. They are. I know they are. I'm a customer. I went to a titty bar last week at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, that's bad. That is bad. Because it wasn't like I was out. Said, let me swing by the titty bar. No. No, I left my house specifically to see some tits. Can't judge me. There's breasts in there. It's just what men do. If a guy runs up to you on the street, he's like, hey! Don't go in that building. There are naked girls showing their breasts. Be like a white dude in a horror movie. I better investigate. I'm going to want to see for myself. Titty bar is a weird place. I'm not saying it's a good place to hang out. I go there every once in a while. But it's a weird place. They got weird morality. One time I walked into titty bars, all these guys coming in, right? Out of all these dudes, the bouncer picked me out the crowd, started yelling at me. Hey, 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 buddy. Hey, hey! Don't go in that building. There are naked girls showing their breasts. Be like a white dude in a horror movie. I better investigate. I'm going to want to see for myself. Titty bar is a weird place. I'm not saying it's a good place to hang out. I go there every once in a while. But it's a weird place. They got weird morality. One time I walked into titty bars, all these guys coming in, right? Out of all these dudes, the bouncer picked me out the crowd, started yelling at me. Hey, 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 buddy. Sir, sir, you want to take your hat off? Huh? It's disrespectful to the ladies.
Yeah, I can shove a 20 up her ass, but I better not have a hat on when I do it. Oh, sorry about that, buddy. Here you go, Bubbles. Forgive me for the hat thing. You know why those bars are so popular now? Is because men don't know how to deal with women in reality. So sometimes we gotta take the fantasy road. The reality of the situation is very grim. Women have made a lot of progress in a short period of time, man. It changed everything. Can't deal in relationships anymore. I broke up with my girl. I'm out of Shawshank. I'm free. I don't want to go back. Couldn't even argue with her. You should be able to argue. If you have an issue in a relationship, you should be able to argue that issue out, right? But see, ladies, you got to stick to the fucking issue. You guys take arguments everywhere just to win them. That's why nothing ever gets done. You'll be arguing about the dishes. Baby, baby, could you wash your dish at least before you put it in the sink? Premature ejaculator. Damn. You know, why you got to bring that up? I don't even believe in that. I don't. If I come, man, it was right on time. That's the way I see it. As far as I'm concerned, I can't come fast enough. And I'm sick of being vilified all the time. David, how could you? How could you come? I was fucking. Now, what are you trying to do, huh? Come. Well, I beat you. You got to work on your time, baby. I'm down to a minute 20. They're mad at me because I have different goals and sex. I'm a speed fucker. I'm just trying to hit my best time. It's like the Olympics. And now for the dismount.
NBA scoring leader at the All-Star break, Kevin Durant, sitting down with us. Eight times you've gone over 40 points this year, 43 against the Lakers the other night, 33 times over 30. What extra gear have you found, especially since Russell Westbrook went down?
To be honest, I'm not doing anything different. I'm preparing the right way. I'm focusing on the game plan every single game. I'm just going out there and playing, to be honest. Simple.
Jeff, Mark and I had the game, you remember, in the Garden on Christmas Day, and then you guys came after Russell got hurt. You go 5-5 in the first 10 games, and I think that everybody thought, well, they can, you know, kind of hold around to lose a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, like, what happened? Did you guys happen upon something after 10 games, or what changed?
We just figured it out. I think defensively is where we made strides, and we knew, you know, that's how we were going to win basketball games, if we defend. And I think what really clicked for us, we lost to Memphis, a tough game in Memphis, then we played Houston the next game. And we gave up 73 points the first half and then 19 points the second half. And I think everybody in our locker room knew why we won that basketball game, solely just based off of defensive pressure, physicality, and just playing together on the offensive end. And after that, we ran off 10 straight and, you know, we just tried to keep it up.
It's not the ultimate prize, but what would a regular season MVP trophy mean to you if you're able to win that?
It would mean a lot. I mean, you can't never – MVP in this league, you can't ever downgrade that. I don't care who you are, how many you won, you can't downgrade an MVP. And, of course, the ultimate prize is to win the championship. But as far as you know, regular season accolades, I think that's right up there at the top. And that would be cool, but it's out of my control. Only thing I control is how I play the game, and everything else after that will fall in line.
If the league made me turn in my ballot today, whose name should be on it?
That's up to you.
You can't even help me a little?
No, I just play the games, man, and you make your decision. I trust you.
Kevin Durant, our guest from the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's Meet the All-Stars on ESPN Radio with Mark Stein, PJ Carlesimo. I'm Mark Kestisher. Why does Oklahoma City work so perfectly for you? It seems like it's a perfect match.
I'm a basketball guy. You know, PJ knows I'm a basketball guy. And, you know, give me a nice gym, basketball, that's all I want to do. And no matter where I play at, you know, that's all I want to do. That's what it comes down to for me. And Oklahoma City is just a perfect spot. Our organization, they do a great job for us, you know, just making sure everything is set out for us every single day. And it's just, you know, it's a joy to play for.
Kev, you look tired. I know you played last night. Yeah. How do you look at the All-Star, like these four days now, coming into New Orleans, and what are you looking for these next three, 4 days?
Try to get some sleep. That's the first thing. But just enjoying the weekend, you know, can't take this for granted. You know, my rookie year, you know, he was around, of course. You know, we were here in New Orleans as well, and I was just, you know, walking around and just looking at all the All-Stars and just dreaming I would be here one day. And, you know, this is my fifth one, and I'm growing. I'm getting a little older. But it's exciting to be here. I never want to take it for granted. Just enjoy the process and get ready for the next half.
And so here you are, and amongst your peers, most of them will say you, LeBron, top two in the NBA right now and in the world. What would be the most difficult one-on-one matchup for you, any basketball player?
I would say Kobe.
How come?
And Carmelo. Because they just have an array of moves that can get me off balance, and, you know, and they're strong on defense as well. But Kobe's just the ultimate one-on-one player. And, you know, it would be fun playing against him, but it would be tough to beat him.
Kevin, enjoy All-Star Weekend here in New Orleans. We'll
Thank
talk
you.
To you soon.
Appreciate it.
It's springtime. Baseball is here, and the smell of hope is more powerful than the pine tar. But 162 games of hardball reality awaits. And you need to know what lies ahead this season. Whether you're into Buster Olney, analytics, or being able to point out this year's phenom before anybody else, ESPN Insider coverage brings the baseball knowledge heat all season long. Behind the scenes, beyond the headlines, before it happens. ESPN Insider, your way in. Visit ESPN.com/insider.
Welcome back on the ride. Yours truly, Vinny Moore. 15:15 left to go. So you've heard from Kevin Durant now about his MVP prowess. You've heard a lot of even myself talk about Michael Sam and the coming out as the first openly gay player to go in the NFL draft. And again, I continue to ask the question, why is that news? Well, guess what? I guess I'm perpetuating that because I'm having a conversation with you about it. So we're going to not talk about that anymore. If you guys want to talk about it, you can give me a call at 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. But I'm done talking about it. There are bigger things going on, like the 2014 Olympics in Sochi, where the U.S. hockey team continues to dominate. We've had our fair share of medals. We'll try to get you a medal count before we call this a wrap today. Also, where is your team going to go in the draft? Are you watching the Combine on NFL Network this year, trying to find out where your guys are going to fit in? What are our lovely Chicago Bears going to do with the 14th pick this year? And here's my epitaph for the Bears, because I've been getting, you know, somewhat, I won't say picked on, but it's always fun to have someone poke at you. The Bears were a fourth down and eight away from making the playoffs. And once you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. And I truly, truly enjoy Mark Trestman and the way he coaches that team, the way he is just transparent and curt with the way he handles things. He's a quarterback's coach. And I don't know if you ever have a situation where a head coach and the quarterback aren't on the same page where they've ever won a championship, up to and including the 85 Bears with McMahon and Ditka. But here you have a situation where someone like Russell Wilson, who was obviously the favorite from Pete Carroll, by winning the job from what would have been then a free agent of Matt Flynn going to Seattle. And all Russell does is take 2 years and lead that team to a Super Bowl championship over what may have been the most prolific offensive team in the Denver Broncos under Peyton Manning that we've seen in a long time. And we've seen great offenses. I mean, a couple of years ago, you saw Tom Brady in the high-powered New England Patriots offense with Randy Moss put up a ton of points and get there and be shut down by a great defense of the New York Giants, and the Giants wind up hoisting that title. We always say offense wins games, but defense wins championships. Well, I guess no truer message could be sent than what we've seen even this past Super Bowl with the 43-8 drubbing of the Broncos by the Seattle Seahawks. But the fun thing about football is it's hard to have a dynasty nowadays. You can call it parity if you want to, but it's very hard to have a dynasty. It is not, however, hard to go from worst to first. It is not. When you're a fourth down and eight away from making the playoffs where anything can happen, you've got to be a little bit thrilled that your first-year coach of the Bears was able to accomplish the things, at least on offense, the second-best offense in the league last year, in the one season. What will the Bears do this time around? I think it's amazing. I think it's exciting. And what will the Bears defense do? You cannot go into the season being the 31st, 32nd ranked defense in the league. You're Chicago. This city is known for defense. And someone recently asked me, how would Michael Sam look? I said I wasn't going to mention Nick's name again. How would he look in a Bears uniform? Let me tell you something. He plays like a young Mike Singletary. He does, okay? Does he have the chutzpah to continue that? We'll see. I don't know. It will be interesting to find out whether or not he can pull that off. I still think it's absolutely amazing that the Bears are that close under a new head coach, a new regime the first year. And I'm optimistic about this year as we go forward. Now to baseball. The Sox and the Cubs are both bad. They're going to be bad. End of thought. It's that simple. The boys of summer are in spring training right now trying to get ready for a season. 162 games amid challenges of weather and poor play and trying to at least compete. The Detroit Tigers look really, really good. The Oakland A's are going to be strong again. The Yankees are the Yankees. All right, enough about baseball because that just nauseates me now. Cincinnati is going to be good this year. And any team led by Dusty Baker just gets my thumbs down, and that's not an indictment of the players. It truly is an indictment of Dusty Baker. What he did in 2003 to the Cubs in that one season, which was truly the Cubs season, was it just makes a fan puke. I'll put it like that. It just makes you puke. Anyway, Bulls fans, you're two games over 500, and all this talk about trying to get Carmelo out of New York to come to Chicago. Here's something just for you.
If you're the Knicks, maybe the best way to go about this is not to trade Carmelo, but to let him walk. And then you have to live through one terrible season. 2014-15 will be a terrible season. And then in the summer of 2015, they will have a ton of cap space. And they can go after one of the many players who will be available then. Among them, I believe Kevin Love is a guy who would be available then. And I forget, I heard Chris Broussard talking about this the other day. There are a couple of really good players, and you just try and build the thing again. And it's just that simple. You just try again. And the reality is, here's what happens to bad NBA teams with basically bad leadership. All right, you can't be as bad as the Knicks have been for as long as they are if the people at the very top of the organization know what they're doing. This is an indication that they do not, because you keep changing the pieces below you,
right,
and the result continues to be an embarrassment. So here's what happens. You keep breaking the whole thing down so that you can try and build it up again. Now, the problem you have is you cannot tell your fan base, well, don't worry, just relax, because in 2 years, we're going to have all this cap space and we're going to build you a champion. Because you told them that before,
what did they get out of it?
They won one playoff series.
Right.
One playoff series. And in a year where the Eastern Conference may be the worst conference in the history of the sport, they're in danger of missing the playoffs entirely.
Yep.
So to me, I don't know what the answer is. To me, the answer is to try and find a way to keep Carmelo and build around him, because I have zero confidence. Stephen A. is on the phone, I'm being told. All right, Stephen A. is there. Stephen A., whom we had a great time with last night.
And
he can add to this thought. Stephen A., here's my question for you. That is, if the Knicks were just to let Carmelo walk at the end of this year, they would have cap space in 2015. Am I getting that right? And at that point, they could try and do what they theoretically tried to do a couple of years ago and go after those guys. What is your sense of where that thing is headed?
My sense of where that is at, Mike Greenberg, is that the blasphemy that is coming out of your mouth is intolerable. I can't believe what I just heard you say. We can't let Carmelo Anthony leave for nothing. That cannot happen. These are the New York Knicks we're talking about. You are asking them to have a plan. They've never had a plan. You can't do this. You can't put New Yorkers through this again. You're trying to tell me that in February of 2014, you're asking New York Knicks fans to not only endure the rest of this debacle of a season where Mike Woodson is going to end up being a scapegoat because he was set up to fail to begin with, but then not only to go through a miserable summer in 2014, but to turn around in the fall of 2014, and then the winter of 2014 and 2015, and then the spring of 2015, knowing in advance that we have another atrocious season in our wake after what we've been through. We can't do this. This is Carmelo Anthony we're talking about here. We have to make sure you can get value for him. If everybody else can get first-round picks, if the Toronto Raptors can get on the phone with the Knicks and talk about acquiring a future first-round pick for Kyle Lowry, if the New York Knicks can surrender a first-round pick for Andrea Bargnani, then good Lord, the New York Knicks should be able to get a couple of first-round picks for the likes of Carmelo Anthony. You don't have to take back salaries and money and years and all of that stuff, but you had certainly better get something for the services of a mega talent like Carmelo Anthony. You can't let this guy walk away for nothing, Mike Greenberg. I can't believe the blasphemy that's coming out of your mouth. I'm wondering whether or not you're a New York Knicks fan.
Okay, point well taken. I was under the impression that when I have thought about trading Carmelo Anthony, I have thought about them doing it in the manner in which they traded for Carmelo Anthony, which is to say they gave up a bunch of players so the Knicks would get back a bunch of players, which is what they did for Ewing, and that probably set the franchise back forever, right? They should have just let Ewing go and kept the cap space. Instead, they capped themselves out for the better part of a decade based upon getting back lousy, substandard players that were making a lot of money for Patrick Ewing, and they didn't dig out of that for years. So what you're talking about is just trading him for draft picks, but you don't want any contracts back, right? Because you want to have the space.
I don't want contracts back. In all likelihood, because of Carmelo Anthony, that we're talking about, you may have to take back a player or two that obviously, because you got to fall within 75% of Carmelo Anthony's salary in terms of what you acquire in return for his services. But what I'm saying is it can be aspiring contracts, but talent that you could put on the floor. It could be more than one individual combined with picks. All I'm trying to say is that you've got to get something of equitable compensation, something that not only helps you be at least to some degree respectable at this moment in time because they can't get much worse, but something that spells something along the lines of productivity for the future, which would come in the form of draft picks. But one thing you cannot do is just let him walk and tell New York Knicks fans, trust us, trust this model of ineptitude. Trust that even though we're the same franchise that has one playoff series victory in the last 13 to 14 years, we will come through for you in 2 years. You cannot do that to Knicks fans. We have suffered enough. We are miserable enough. We have endured entirely too much. It is painful. It's to the point where people in the streets in New Orleans are laughing at me just because they know I'm from New York. This is how bad it is, Mike Greenberg. You can't ask New Yorkers to deal with this. You just can't do it.
I actually agree. So I don't think we actually are disagreeing. Let me ask you quickly, Stephen A., would not be the better choice if they can re-sign Carmelo, if he will re-sign for the money. Could they re-sign him, sort of tread water for another year, and then still have space to go out and get someone like Kevin Love or someone like that the next summer?
That is plausible. We wouldn't like that. But at the same time, again, desperate times call for desperate measures. If the February 20th trading deadline expires, then Carmelo Anthony is playing with house money. He gets to do what he wants to do. If you're the New York Knicks, all I'm saying is you need to exhaust every option imaginable to make sure you get something for his services, because it's a hard pill to swallow that you can sit as the New York Knicks and say, we trust that anybody would want to stay with us come the summer of 2014, considering what he has had to endure this year. I'm just saying you can't trust him. It's not Carmelo Anthony's fault. It's the Knicks' fault, but it's hard to trust.
It's springtime. Baseball is here, and the smell of hope is more powerful than the pine tar. But 162 games of hardball reality awaits, and you need to know what lies ahead this season. Whether you're into Buster Olney, analytics, or being able to point out this year's phenom before anybody else, ESPN Insider coverage brings the baseball knowledge heat all season long. Behind the scenes, beyond the headlines, before it happens. ESPN Insider, your way in. Visit ESPN.com/insider.
And there you go. All right, five to go in this wonderful ride. Fastest 60 minutes of sports for Sunday, February the 16th, 2014. It has been an absolute amazing winter for not only crazy weather, more snow, especially in the Chicago market we've seen in years. We're used to the cold. The cold is the cold. It's the snow and the blustering wind and the snow drifts and the ice that is kicking Chicago's tail this time around. To the rest of the world, I know it's been cold, especially those of you up in the great northern provinces up there in Calgary near the northern tip of the Rocky Mountains. Just an FYI to you guys up there, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. I actually thought I should have been up there by now, but such is not the case. So from the studios here in Richland Park in Illinois, we say we love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. I want to thank each and every one of you for always being a part of the Fastest 60 Minutes of Sports with yours truly, Vinny Moore. Obviously, I'll see you next week, and that's kind of the game plan. However, continue to stay tuned into what's going on with the U.S. hockey team, the Olympic team. We continue to dominate. That's always a lot of fun. And there seems to be a kind of a head-on collision coming between the U.S. and Canada, which is always a tremendous, tremendous time, tremendous fun time, since so many of those players play in the NHL and they finally get a chance to play together. Also, look forward to some promotions coming down the road here in a couple of months from the Fast 6 Minutes of Sports. Also, I cannot jade this enough, so I want to hit this thing. I want to knock this one out of the park. Many of you know that I am the executor of the Tijana Davis Scholarship Foundation, and I take this thing seriously. Ms. Davis was my administrative assistant for 6 years and truly, truly the salt of the earth. I don't want to get into the particulars. I don't want to vilify or slam anybody. Unfortunately, she lost her life back on October the 20th. Immediately after hearing the news and doing what we needed to do to take care of the family, we created the Scholarship Foundation to raise money, not only for these kids, but for subsequent situations for children around this area and really the world. The Scholarship Foundation will raise money. 100% of proceeds will go to scholarships. I hope you heard me clearly. 100% of proceeds go to scholarships to help these children get into that secondary education. So keep that in the back of your head. Check that out on Facebook. And, well, I don't think there's not a Twitter page yet, but check it out on Facebook, the Tijana Davis. That's T-A-J-U-A-N-N-A Davis Scholarship Foundation. Bunch of information out there as to how that's growing and what's going on with that as well. Under two to go, 619-639-4747. Had not heard from anybody today, which I'm a little stunned, but that's okay. It's early Sunday morning. Many of you are just getting up. Some of you getting ready to go to church. Some of you getting ready to get on with the great Sundays. Maybe you're watching some good college basketball today. Whatever you're doing around this world today, enjoy yourself. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your fans. Enjoy your friends and those you care about, okay? And whatever you do, stay away from anything and everything that's negative today. Okay, that's today's moniker. All right, that's going to do it. We'll see you next time only on the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports.